Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Conference USA Report podcast. It has been a while, and for that we apologize. We have been away retooling the show, kind of figuring out exactly what we want Conference USA Report podcast to be. Last episode, I think we did, was it late season non-conference schedules, like episode 12 or something like that. We didn't forget. We have been busy, and like I said, been retooling, rethinking the podcast. Originally, if you may recall, one of the earlier episodes, we wanted to, the goal of the show was to have kind of a weekly recap and also some weekly conversations. Now, the problem with that is that we're a small operation, and booking guests and kind of reacting to guests is kind of a hit or miss proposition. It's one reason why this show does love friend of the show, Mr. Ed Miller, because he shows up. all right, so what are we going to talk about today? I'll tell you what. Let's recap some things that have happened since we last spoke. You and I together on this big old wide internet that we inhabit. Number one, UAB won the football championship game. And Conference USA Report was in Murfreesboro. And, we saw it. We were like one of 10 people there. And like 8 of the people were UAB fans. I was kind of poking fun of Middle Tennessee fans because some of the more vocal, some of the more tweet happy fans are talking about how the conference needs to adjust to make games more interesting. Then they'll go. And I found that statement and that kind of position ridiculous because the last two games of the Middle Tennessee season involved one of the league's best quarterbacks ever, Brent Stockstill, one of the league's most successful teams in Middle Tennessee, a huge game against a relatively regional rival, right? Birmingham is not that far from Murfreesboro or Nashville. And it was a game to decide whether or not Middle was going to go to the title game and also host, turns out. And then the next game was the actual conference championship game at home, you know, in town, at your stadium, in the senior season of the best quarterback in your history. And, the attendance wasn't great. That's the kind of thing that makes me think that Middle is just not going to ever, at least in the next 10, 15 years, 20 years, turn into a program that really shows out for football. Because I don't know what else they could do, short of inviting Vanderbilt and Tennessee to play, to alternate every week, to fill up their schedule. But what does that mean? That means that those fans are there. There's not a whole lot of Middle Tennessee fans. And it's sad to say because Middle, again, they've been super successful, right? Papa Stockstill up there in Murfreesboro has been incredibly successful, incredibly generous. The Murfreesboro fans, the Middle fans that I met and I talked with, they all said they love him. He's great. He's a huge part of the town. And I don't know that you can ask for more at any level, really. Not just like G5 level or, Division 2, whatever. I don't know that you could ask for a better relationship or better product if you want to get real corporate and capitalist about it. Middle Tennessee football has been good. Now, has it been great? I mean, I don't know, right? They're not going undefeated every year, but I don't know any program that is not named Alabama. And even Alabama did not win the national championship last year, right? So we have to consider the standards that we're setting for these programs and ask ourselves, hey, are these realistic, right? Are they achievable? Or are we just getting a little crazy, right? Are we being the toddler that says, I want cake and I want to stay up all night and I want to watch, more Timu Mizumi or something like that. And we just need to settle down, take a nap. Some of the Conference USA fans need to settle down, take a nap. And by that I mean rethink their positioning on a lot of these things. I don't think it's bad to hold the conference leadership and really the individual schools' leadership to, you know, to higher standards, to high standards. But I also think that those standards and the highness, the relative level of those standards is within a realistic range, you know. You can't say, hey, UTEP, why can't you be the University of Texas, right? That's your limit. That's your ceiling. It's not. It's not going to be that. And even there's not a realistic path for that program, for that school, for that area to reach a UT Austin type of level for a number of reasons, right? And to hold them to that standard, to hold Middle Tennessee to the same standard as like Tennessee or even Vanderbilt, or to hold Western Kentucky to, you know, UK standards is completely unrealistic and sets yourself up for disappointment, right? A big thrust of CUSA report has been trying to take a smarter approach to reacting to some of these games. But it also comes from a place where, you know, we're fans. We're fans of these sports. I like me some basketball. I like me some football. But I'm not 19 years old anymore, right? And so I don't have 19-year-old hot sports opinions where I say, hey, why are they not just winning titles? I did it on NCAA football. Why can't they? Because that's ridiculous, right? It's not as fun. No, it's not. You know, like you go to an SEC game, you know, like been out there at Neyland Stadium or something, you see 95,000 people and they're like, oh, geez. You know, attendance is not where it needs to be. We're not selling out here. And you're like, wow, what a difference, right? You go to Apogee Stadium and they're like, hey, we sold 30,000 you know, tickets, 30,000 people. Greatest attendance in our history. Just a vast difference there, right? But building a following, if you ask anybody that's ever had to do it, like building attendance, you know, the bands, right? Building stadiums, moving from like playing clubs to moving to playing arenas. It takes time, right? It takes investment and time, and it takes quality, right? And you're not doing it in a vacuum. And I've seen a lot of hot takes. It always happens around Conference USA basketball tournament time, where everybody has the hottest take. It always happens right around bowl season time, when I think fans are faced with some realism, right? Where they're faced with reality, and they realize, hey, we are not exactly where we thought we were going to be, or other institutions don't think of my favorite program as highly as I think of them, and you know that always causes some tweet storms, right? So it breaks down like this, and I've said this before, and I was talking with people, and I wrote a post on it on Conference USA Report, you know, the other day at the conference tournament. The league is comprised of 14 disparate institutions that were and are secondary and even tertiary in their state and their market. Again, if you want to get real business speaky about it, we'll take the, I mean, I'm most familiar with the Texas teams, you know, but you can pick any of them, right? You pick Florida, right? Florida Atlantic, Florida International, they have to compete with Miami, right, in the case of FIU, and, you know, University of Florida, Florida State, and UCF now, right? And then what have you, the other G5 ones that are in the American Conference. I just mentioned Kentucky is the big one in Kentucky. So Western has to face, you know, deal with that. There's a lot of people that care about that. A lot of people care about Louisville. Middle, we just talked about Vandy. We talked about Tennessee. A lot of people care more about, you know, Memphis basketball than they do, you know, Middle Tennessee basketball. You talk about UAB, and there was a whole thing where, like, the main program, the flagship of the university system there, just basically killed the program, the UAB program, right? Just out of, you know, I don't want to say jealousy, but it just out of spite, I guess. Over here in Texas, you have, you know, UTSA and UTEP are part of the University of Texas system, but most people care about UT football, A&M football, and then like Texas Tech, and then way down the line, a little Baylor. probably Oklahoma football somewhere before a Baylor or something like this. There's a small contingent of TCU fans. And then way down the list, is you got North Texas, UTSA, UTEP, all the rest, right? It's a big state, yeah, and there's a, you know, in Dallas, Fort Worth is a big market, but there's a lot of competition there. Right? SMU is competing. SMU in the past has actively kept North Texas out of the loop. They didn't want them to be in Conference USA with them. Now they don't want them to be in the American Conference. Everybody's fighting against everybody, and then, you know, TCU does that to SMU. They didn't want them in the same conference when they left. They went to Big 12. They're just kind of trying to force them out. There's the University of Houston out there trying to compete. They're not super excited about Rice football doing anything. A lot of competition, and all the leagues, this leagues, Conference USA's leagues, teams are not number one. They're not number two, and they're probably number three somewhere down the line, right? Marshall, there's West Virginia there. The smaller states are like number two. The bigger states are like number 10. That's how it works. That's what sucks about this league if you're a fan of any one of these institutions. And no doubt you are intimately familiar with the struggles to get attention from the major papers, the major TV broadcasts, you know, your local station, your local TV station. We were talking about this. I was, you know, just talking with the people covering the Conference USA basketball tournament. And you don't really see a lot of these people before, you know, during the season. And you're just kind of like, hey, what are they doing here right now? It's a big event. They'll sneak down, maybe cover it a little bit, and then talk some mess about Conference USA. And it's that kind of, I don't want to say like completely uninformed, because, you know, I don't know how much they know or don't know. But you don't really see these people talk about the league or about any of the teams in the league until Conference USA tournament time. And they just default to, this league's a joke, look at this, they just got to get out of there, without really offering much else in analysis. And I don't really care whether or not the analysis is bad or it's good, right? I think you do the review and, you know, you get the result you get, right? But I don't like uninformed analysis, especially by third party people that don't really follow, don't really know what they're talking about, right? That's the worst. I don't know anybody that appreciates that. So my ears perked up when, you know, people that do follow the program, programs in Conference USA or the league itself, and they have some hot sports opinions. So was it Moonshine Throwdown podcast that I guess it kind of follow Western and Marshall? You know, they were like, how do we fix this league, right? And they threw out some opinions. It was a good little show. It was entertaining, and, you know, it sparked some thought. I had some opinions already on it, and it's perfect timing, like I said, because I got tweeted. I'm sorry. Because I was already going to schedule a podcast, and this gives me a chance to react. So we're going to try a little something different. They're not on the show, but I'm going to use some clips of their show. I think they had five each, and it broke down to, hey, we need a better deal. We need to get the basketball tournament out of Frisco. And they had some suggestions how to do that. Most of them I just didn't agree with, just because they're just completely unrealistic. But one was kind of interesting. Better branding. I think they made fun of Conference USA Way, and I totally agree with that one. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. And, you know, better leadership is what it essentially came down to. So I think the best way to do this is we'll just kind of react to Moonshine Throwdown's show, and then we'll kind of give our opinions here. And if you hate the way we're doing it, well, I mean, you just let me know, right? Podcast@ConferenceUSAReport.com. Let's get it started with number one. I think it was Trace that said
this.
Need
a better TV deal. I mean, you just do. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't have any.
I don't know what he's apologizing for. Yeah, I agree. I think the league as a whole needs a better TV deal. And they kind of elaborated on this point a little bit and saying that everybody went all in on this alignment, this configuration, in order to maximize the TV deal possibilities. And that's a big swing and a miss by leadership, by circumstance. I don't think that the league was playing with the strongest hand here. Houston ECU, Tulsa left, right? Tulane left. And in came like Western, North Texas, UTSA. And the thinking was, hey, those are big markets, relatively big, Dallas being a big one. That kind of replaces SMU there. And, you know, those will get the eyeballs that we need. The problem is, and this is kind of my criticism of this criticism, is that the problem is that nobody watches these teams, right? And those are just the facts, right? And I think it's best illustrated by the fact that in this discussion, on their discussion, but I've heard this across Twitter, I've heard this in person, I've heard this talking with my friends, is that the biggest criticism is that people have to pay for it, right? They say, you know, I don't want, it's behind this paywall, or, you know, it's behind this, you know, ESPN Plus, and I'm not going to pay that money to watch my team. And that is, in a nutshell, the problem, right? I'm not picking on these guys, Trace and I think it's KD, but they were just the latest to say it, essentially. And I've heard this from lots of different people. You hear that people saying, hey, let me get this free trial of ESPN Plus, and then I'll cancel it within a week. The whole idea behind these streaming deals and putting the programming on them is that they believe that you are going to buy it, right? That you care about your team enough that you're going to buy their service, right? You're going to spend $5 so that way you can watch West Kentucky football, right? You're going to spend $5 so you can watch UTSA football, et cetera, down the line, right? And the fact is, it seems like nobody wants to do that. And not enough people want to watch BN Sport. And that was another criticism. Like, I don't have BN Sport. I'm not going to watch BN Sport. Well, I mean, I don't know. That's the point. That's why BN Sport bought the rights, right? BN Sport said, you know what? We believe in the Conference USA fan. We believe that they're going to try to buy the package that includes BN Sport. And at the time, again, in defense of the conference, I guess, when they signed the deal, BN Sport was on more cable networks. They've subsequently lost some of those deals with the cable providers. And some of that is our fault, right? Our, as Conference USA fans, fault. We didn't subscribe to cable packages that had BN Sport, that carried BN Sport at a high enough level, at a high enough rate that those cable companies would feel the loss of ditching BN Sport and not meeting them at their negotiated fee, right? But that was the play. Hey, if, you know, the BN Sport executive was like, we'll buy Conference USA football rights. All those college football fans will tune in. They will buy the package that includes BN Sport so that way they can watch their favorite team, right? And the response as a whole, I know because a lot of people subscribe or whatever, people like me that actually like the soccer, so they already had it. Their response was, no. No, thank you. I don't love my school enough, so I will not, you know, buy that package. And I mean, that sounds harsh, but that's essentially how it's being interpreted, right? ESPN has a whole network, SEC network, you know, there's an ACC network. They know that the fandom of SEC football is so great that they put anything with an SEC logo on it and those fans will buy it, right? But it's more about those individual teams, right? There's such an Alabama fandom. There's such a Mississippi State fandom, et cetera, Auburn fandom, that they will consume whatever that is because their team's on it. Now, maybe they don't like it, right? Maybe they're not super happy about being nickel and dimed all the way and paying extra for SEC Network or whatever, but it's largely been successful. And, you know, this kind of play is not always popular, right? I don't think, like, the Longhorn Network is as profitable as they want it to be. I think it's actually a money loser. But we'll see when that comes around again. There was enough University of Texas fandom. There's t-shirt fans that are out there. They're like, I'll watch it. I'll subscribe and I'll get it because I love me some Longhorns, right? Not enough people. There are not enough people to get together to support, say, you know, a Marshall network. You know what I mean? And that's the case. Again, second tier, third tier in the states and their markets and the region for all of these teams, all 14 of these teams. And that group combined, you know, we don't have enough people that care enough to support this program. And so that's been a failure, and it's not the league's fault. You can't blame the league. You have to blame yourselves. If you didn't subscribe to it, for whatever your reasons, right? Maybe you couldn't afford it. Okay. Maybe, you don't like being nickel and dimed. Okay. But the collective you, right? You didn't subscribe. Therefore, it's a failure. And that extends all the way through the rest. The TV deals that the league gets are not because they failed to negotiate or they can't hammer out a great deal. Ultimately, it comes down to desire, right? Why do they put, you know, movie stars on a marquee on the poster? Because they know they can draw people to see the movie, right? That's why they have them in there. That's why they cast them. And you're like, well, you know, why can't they just put this no-name person? Because nobody cares about the no-name person. They care about the Tom Cruise. They care about whoever whoever it is. Same deal, right? Like, why do we always see the SEC on TV? Why are they always talking about the SEC? Because people care, right? Why are they always talking about LeBron James? Because people care. Why are they not talking about, you know, Louisiana Tech basketball? Because not as many people care. That's the answer. All across the board, you know, attendance is down all the way. I mean, it could be that football in general is kind of, not as popular, even though the very top tier, the very edge case, right, the upper echelon is the most popular. That they can both be true. As far as the TV deal is concerned, this is a bad, bad deal. And I agree with the guys at Moonshine Throwdown when they said, and when everybody says, hey, maybe we need to go to a more regional kind of setup. I've tweeted this before, it's a good point to talk about the fact that college football has always kind of been organized and aligned to revenue, right? The old Big Eight, which had like Oklahoma, Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas State, that kind of thing, they were aligned because it was easy to travel to, right? It was regional, that whole section there. When they changed things and went to the Big 12, a lot of that was to get Texas in there. Like Baylor got swept in because Ann Richards, you know, made it so. Governor Ann Richards of Texas. But that was aligned towards TV. And a lot of the more recent alignments, you know, the ACC moving around, Miami joining the ACC, et cetera, all those things were with TV in mind, right? And, I mean, and everybody remembers the more recent ones, you know, Rutgers joining the Big Ten. You know, what sense does that make? Well, it's because it's New York-ish. You get them involved, and it's all around TV. The problem is you have this looming cord-cutting thing. You have this broader socioeconomic, you know, stratification where, you know, the poor people are not making as much money, and they can't climb the ladder. They can't move to the next class. There's not a whole lot of class movement. So, you know, people's wallets are thinner than they used to be, and you can't squeeze as much money as you used to be able to from, you know, like the sports rights. So you have to rethink things. And yes, I think, you know, having been a fan of North Texas and seeing the issues with the Sun Belt Conference and the distance involved, you couldn't really build up a relationship with, say, Louisiana Monroe. You couldn't really build up a relationship with Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, Florida International, Florida Atlantic. You can't really build up a relationship from that. You don't really know too many people. There could be a lot of alums, but, I mean, you don't interact with a lot of alums from Miami when you're in, say, you know, Denton, Texas or something like this, or even Dallas. You really encounter, you know, Oklahoma fans, Oklahoma State people, Texas Tech people, Texas A&M people. And same way elsewhere, right? You know, like if you're in Tennessee, you don't know too many UTEP people, right? So there's not really a relationship there. And if you're not getting the benefits from a TV deal where, you know, I think originally it was like $2 million or something like that, you have nothing, right? So yeah, let's make it more regional. I think I'm a fan of realigning the conferences, the G5, the remaining ones, the kind of leftover ones that tried to get a nice TV deal. and are at various stages of success with that. I think it's good to align with travel in mind, right? Doing, like I said, it's just you're bringing the idea back around. I talked about the Big Eight because that's how things used to be, right? The Pac Eight, I think it should be even smaller than that. A lot of these are regional. It's easier to travel to. We don't really need Old Dominion traveling to UTEP. There's very little in common between the two, other than, like as I said before, they're all, you know, third in the state, right, or whatever. So yeah, let's realign. And I think that was another point they made. I don't have a clip of that one, but yeah, that's the way to do it. Realignment needs to happen, right? We need the Texas schools and maybe Arkansas or something like that, maybe Louisiana, to get those programs closer to each other. I was a little disappointed when Tulsa left because I thought, you know, they were a natural inclusion to like the Conference USA West. Same thing with New Orleans and Tulane leaving. But I understand the reasons. They're like, hey, let's go with the slightly higher name recognition of these other teams, or just kind of these old relationships that we had. It makes sense. It's fine. And it turns out, you know, they placed their bets correctly, right? And they paid off. Cool. But absent that, you know, giant change, right? It's like a seismic change in the landscape there. And I think it's very possible. I think every school would do well to put themselves in a nice position to get a better TV deal. And it starts by building your own fan base. And I think, again, it's tying to what I said earlier. I think a lot of fans point to the conference and saying, you should be doing for me. And really, it's up to the individual schools to build a better fan base. Sometimes it's very difficult, right? Murfreesboro is, you know, I can see why you would be supporting other things. You know, you got Nashville right there. You know, why are you really thinking about Middle Tennessee? I don't know. I mean, it makes sense that you'd be looking elsewhere, right? With TV making it easy to follow, you know, Tennessee Volunteers football and basketball, it's real easy to forget about Middle Tennessee, right? If you're saying, well, it's because we don't have a good TV deal. Yeah, it's a vicious circle. But just putting Middle on TV more is not necessarily going to make people follow Middle Tennessee. You need something to break through. And I don't even think a new catchphrase is going to do it. It's going to give you brief notice, but ultimately, there's too much momentum for, you know, Tennessee Volunteers programs, all their programs, to continue that, right? It's just not going to happen without, you know, slow buildup. You have to invest. You can't do a get popular quick kind of thing. It's a slow buildup. You have to do the right things, hire the right people. I thought the basketball team and the football team are on the right track. And, I mean, unfortunately, hasn't really paid off, right? Middle Tennessee basketball was great for, like, 20 years. The football team has been great for like 20 years. I guess I won't say great, but they've been very good, right? You have to keep that momentum. You have to keep believing that doing the right things are going to build the program the right way. And then you can kind of catch a break. But, you know, like I said, some things are inescapable, right? El Paso, I don't think is going to be a media center in my lifetime. Neither really is San Antonio. It's been like the 36th ranked TV market for a long time. Right now, I guess it's getting a little too inside the demographics, but there's a big influx of millennials, so maybe it's getting bigger. But I think right now, Austin is the hot spot for popularity for everybody. San Antonio's getting a little of that spillover there, but I mean, what is that? It's going to take 10, 15 years for that to bear some kind of fruit and make long-term investments that are going to really change you know, the fortunes of, say, like UTSA. They have a lot to invest in. They got to build a practice facility. They have to build up their donor base so that way they can get the kind of legacy donations that can put them at that level there. You know, it takes a lot of investment, sustained investment. All these programs need that kind of thing. North Texas, you know, everybody talks about them with like potential, right? They always have the word potential in them. Like, why is North Texas not great? Every coach that goes in there, they talk about how it's such a fertile recruiting ground, right? Well, yeah, everybody knows that and everybody stops through, right? Texas A&M, Arkansas play a game there every year to start so they can you know, recruit from the area. Texas Tech tries to stop in there and play a game at Cowboy Stadium also, right? So they can recruit in the area. There's the Texas OU game, right? They enjoy that partly because they get to recruit in the area. They get to build their fan bases. In Texas, if you graduated from any of the big schools or really any school, you move to Dallas, Fort Worth, or you move to Houston, or you move to Austin or San Antonio. It's what you do unless you move out of state, right? But so Oklahoma grads, they graduate and they leave Oklahoma and they go down to Dallas, Fort Worth, right? Oklahoma State grads, they graduate there, they come down, they go there. There are a lot of transplants in the Dallas, Fort Worth area. So just because you have a lot of people and, you know, a lot of talent doesn't necessarily mean that your SMUs or TCUs or North Texas is going to scoop them up, right? Everybody knows that Dallas, Fort Worth has a lot of really good players and they try to do everything they can to make their name known there and put their brand everywhere. I mean, Big 12 is headquartered there, right? They spend a lot of time there. They have their tournament there. There's a lot of competition. It happens this way all over the place. We already talked about Birmingham and UAB's plight. UAB is not going to be as popular as Alabama and Auburn in the next 20, 30 years, right? They can do a lot, they can improve, and they've already done great. But they're not going to be popular just by snapping your fingers. They have to develop the program, do the right things, and they're on the right track. Everything's going right. They need to hope they're not sabotaged again. But that's how you build the following that's going to get a better TV deal, right? You can't just demand a TV deal because it's a money loser, right, for the conference. Bein Sport got like a zero rating for like an FIU Marshall game. And everybody can see why that happened, except maybe Marshall and FIU fans or whatever team combination was on TV. You know, like in I think the guys on the show that kind of mentioned that, you know, they said, well, you know, I want to watch that. And nobody's going to be watching like the Boca Raton game, you know, or nobody's going to be watching these rivalry games when you put them on Rivalry Week. Well, because not a whole lot of people care about those programs. That's our play.
Whatever. Nobody's going to sit there and watch Marshall versus West Kentucky on Black Friday. They're just not going to do it. Unless you're a diehard fan of like either team or college football, they're just not going to watch that. So that's unorthodox.
Yeah, so the unorthodox comment, I'll kind of talk about that. I don't think the answer is just kind of being, you know, outside the box or just doing everything wacky. Because then you're just the Mac, right? The Mac says, you know what? We're never going to compete by putting our games on Saturday, so we'll put them on a Tuesday. And they've made them marginally more well-known, right? I think we all know that Northern Illinois is in the Mac because we've seen them play on Tuesday nights or something like that, but it's a temporary boost. I don't know how much Northern Illinois is going to gain by getting a presence of in the minds of diehards in Texas, right? Building up a game day experience and making it fun and making it like a tradition amongst Northern Illinois alumni and people in the area is the way to build up that kind of relationship long term, right? That's the way to do it. And that's why the Conference USA leadership, which is, you know, which are the schools, the programs, you know, they hire these people and they have their input and they make their desires known. They knew the issues with the previous deal when you're playing at 11 a.m. on a Saturday against SMU, right, if you're North Texas, so you can be on Fox Sports 1. What's great? Well, you get to watch it on Fox Sports 1. Most people have Fox Sports 1, but it's 11 a.m. On a like opening weekend, so tailgating is cut short. It's hot as hell, and everybody's dying in the stands. All those kids that you want to develop a relationship with are having to go home because it's so hot and they can't take it, right? Or they're drinking so much water so they got to be in the restroom half the time. Or everybody's hanging out under the bleachers because it's cooler there by 10 degrees. So then you go home, right? So it's not really a pleasant experience. You want to have it at 6 p.m., right? So that way you know what time everybody can develop a rhythm. The local businesses can develop a rhythm. knowing when the crowds are going to come. They can plan. They can have their whole experience. They can develop a whole game day ritual, right? That's what you want. And that is why they forwent some money to get a TV schedule they can enjoy. And for programs of this, in all the situations of these 14 schools, that is more valuable to me, in my mind, than getting on TV. Getting the people that rather watch it at home into the stadium is the primary concern for a lot of these administrators. That's how you're going to get a closer tie. You don't want to have easy switching costs and say, well, looks like Marshall's losing another one. Let me switch over to the West Virginia game or whatever the case may be. I don't know. I don't want to misrepresent the fandom of the herd fans. But you get what I'm saying, right? A lot of people are casual fans, and it is much easier to watch game day, to watch the Big Ten game play. Begin and then just kind of flip around, finding the best game of the day, all the way through to the Pac-12 at the end of the day. It's super easy, and in a lot of ways it's fun, but, I think going to a game and having those live experiences is better, right? And so you have to make the game day experience better, and they're doing a lot of that. I see a lot of these programs. I know UTSA's, they updated their stadium. They're trying to make it better. They have their, pregame thing out there. They try to make tailgating really fun. They're trying to encourage families to get out there so you can build those long-term relationships. I know North Texas has done that. I know, Middle Tennessee has tried to improve a lot of that. A lot of the programs that we've been to across the league, everybody's trying to improve. And so they're doing that, but it takes time, right? There's only five to six home games a season, right? Every season. So there's only 5 to 10 impressions you can make in a 2-year span, right? It's not a whole lot. You need more. And these other programs, they're like, oh, I grew up going out to Neyland. I remember my daddy used to take me out there. It's hard to compete with that, right? But you have no other option but to compete with that. And I think the right, you do it the right way and you build your foundation the right way, then it pays long-term benefits, right? And instead of just a more of a flash in the pan kind of deal. That said, yeah, you need a better TV deal, right? The best TV deal you can get. I think ESPN Plus is an upgrade over Conference USA TV. CUSA TV is awful. It's a terrible experience, but I don't know how much control the league has over that because it's a cost thing, right? North Texas produces a better broadcast than El Paso. I could tell you that. And there's only so much they can do. I think part of the new deal was that everybody has to kind of level up and make it ESPN Plus worthy. And that's good. That's ideal. But again, it requires investment from the individual program. There's the Conference USA office, the league office doesn't have a whole lot of money, right, to go level up UTEP's production truck and get them on the level of a Western or a North Texas or a Middle or whoever the case, whoever's leading the pack right then. So there's not much that can be done. If you want to improve it, get you $3.5 million and go update the truck yourself, right? That's what needs to happen. All those development offices need to reach out to the local alumni and see who has the deepest pockets and see if you can tap some of those and say, hey, how about you, you update the RTVF squad and see if we can't produce a better broadcast for Conference USA TV, right? That's ultimately the thing. Money is the lifeblood of all these programs, and it comes in the form of donations and then, yes, also, broadcast deals. But right now, if we can't get a good broadcast deal, we need some initial investment, and that means, deep-pocketed alums. What else? Let's talk a little bit about this Orthodox thing, because I was kind of laughing at this.
Point is, which I kind of texted this the other day, that I might be going in this direction, but I put down less unorthodox decisions. And Conference USA, they are the master.
I think he means fewer.
Of unorthodox decisions. I mean, just look at some of the stuff they've done over the last few years. Like this Conference USA pod basketball thing. Like, that's pretty unorthodox. Some people would consider that unorthodox. Some people would consider that's just not really going to do much. And looking at it this year, in the first year.
I don't really quite understand his meaning, comparing to people that would consider things that not to be able to work out versus people that consider that unorthodox. But I think I kind of get the gist. Let's let him finish here.
Scheduling one Conference USA team got in the Big Two postseason tournaments. So not a good look. I mean, it's maybe it's not the pod scheduling's fault, but like it's just not a good look, and that's unorthodox. That's out of the norm, so to speak. And then looking at other things like year, like the way that they decide who hosts the Conference USA Football Championship, it just makes no sense. There's like five or six freaking points of criteria that they follow. It's like, why can't?
Well, before we let them continue there, let's talk a little bit about this unorthodox decision making. Adam, I'm not quite sure we all agree on what orthodox means. But to me, in this situation, Conference USA, as we just described, is playing with a limited hand. And when you do that, you have to take more risks, right? You have to go all in. You have to bet big because otherwise you're going to get bled dry, right? This is a concept that's all across, I don't know, all of warfare strategy. You know, if you have the smaller army or the weaker army or you're in a weaker position, you need to take more risks or think outside of the box. I didn't have a problem per se with pod play. I thought it was a way to improve the scheduling within the conference. Basically, here's an area we can control, right? We can't necessarily control whether or not Middle Tennessee is scheduling better programs or Western Kentucky is scheduling better programs. In some cases, that's not even in those individual programs' control, right? Like, it's very hard for a mid-major team, especially a good mid-major team, to schedule well, right? It's been a thing. So the league saying, let's do what we can to improve the strength of schedule for our programs is not a bad thing to me. And I thought that they took into account all the risks, and they kind of weighed them up. You know, I talked to a couple of administrators and got their thoughts on it. I think most people's complaints were like, well, the scheduling was a little unbalanced, right? Well, yeah, but it always kind of is. Those are kind of the breaks. Some teams you play, you'd end up playing like twice on the road, right? You don't get the return home game. That does suck, yeah. But it is based on your performance in the regular season, so it's not completely outside of the team's control, right? I mean, some of this is college basketball. You can't play – if you can play every team in the conference twice, home and away, that would be, I guess, the ideal way to determine the league champion. You scrap the conference tournament, but nobody really wants that, right? You have a limited amount of games to schedule, so you kind of make the most of them, right? You have a travel partner, okay, that kind of, you know, makes it even scheduling-wise, and then you determine the top five. I think the criticism of that particular scheduling and saying, well, how come these games are just on Conference USA TV? How come they're not, you know, on, I don't know, CBS or something like that? Well, there's a number of factors, and it kind of comes down to the fact that still these are just regular season games, right? And the TV partners know what a regular season game will draw. They know the value of a regular season game. Just because it's Western and Old Dominion in a pod play game doesn't really change the fact that it's Western and Old Dominion in a regular season game, right? They could take the ratings of the first game and compare them to previous seasons and to other inventory and see what draws what. And so the league... to say, hey, Judy, how come you don't go and say, hey, look at this pod play game. Put us on CBS at on primetime. I mean, she could. I mean, I don't know if she did, but I think she's smarter than to do that kind of thing and be laughed off the lot. You're never going to get a better TV presentation for those games. Like I said, they're just regular season games, only slightly more valuable maybe. But it did affect the planning for it, right? If you can say, hey, here are all our regular season games, and hey, TV partners, why don't you plan out your schedule and see what you want to pick, your inventory, everybody takes their pick. It's easier to do that, right? Then, you know, well, we have a couple weeks at the end of the season, and now we're going to do we're going to schedule the rest of these four games for everybody else, right? Who wants to choose one? Again, you're going to lose some value there, right? And that's why a lot of them got regulated to Conference USA TV. Ultimately, the goal was to improve the stock of our number one seed, meaning Old Dominion, or hopefully get a second team. But a lot of that had to do with the quality of the teams, right? So to this point, it didn't work, right? The pod play didn't produce a second seed, and it didn't get Old Dominion, a 10 seed or something like this. It was never going to, right? It was never going to do it on its own. You have to earn it during the regular season. You have to earn it with your non-conference play. And there were not a whole lot of teams in this league that did that. And you could see Old Dominion just look clearly second best against Purdue. And granted, Purdue's a very good team, right? And it was kind of a bad matchup for them. But, I mean, we saw how vulnerable Old Dominion was, how offensively challenged they were. Western Kentucky underperformed this season, and they had their reasons, right? You know, they had some injuries, they had some new faces, they had their reasons, but I mean, them's the breaks, right? Western had designs on getting an NCAA tournament bid based on the regular season play, regardless of winning the tournament. It just so happened, in my mind, that pod play came down to the success of it was compromised by the fact that this is just a down year in Conference USA basketball when we were expecting a lot better, right? You know, it was at five teams, did really well. Like Western last season went to the NIT Final Four, right? You know, Marshall got a win in the NCAA tournament. North Texas won the CBI, and then I think UTSA won a game in the CIT or whatever. So in that respect, kind of sucks, right? Conference USA was a better league last season. It was not as good a league this season. I don't know that we want to overanalyze pod play this time. I think you have to give it a couple of breaks. And I think in that respect, unorthodox decisions was good, right? People complain about the league not trying and making things better. I think this is one area where they tried to do something. And I think you got to give them credit for that. And, you know, you have to judge them realistically on the results. And in this case, again, I think they tried, and the success of it being, hey, let's get Old Dominion a higher seed, it's not really up to them, right? They tried to make it better, didn't happen. Okay. All right, let's continue with the unorthodox decision from, I think it's, again, Trace from Moonshine Throwdown Podcast.
And then looking at other things like the way that they decide who hosts the Conference USA Football Championship, it just makes no sense. There's like five or six freaking points of criteria that they follow. It's like, why can't you just do it on one thing? Like if you have, okay, head to head, I understand. But then after that, like, oh, well, like back years back when Marshall was in that situation. Oh, the BCS rank.
I mean, I don't know about criticizing tiebreakers. The tiebreaking scenarios make sense to me. And when you encounter a situation where you have two teams that haven't played each other or have played different opponents, you need something else. It used to be, the BCS rankings. I don't really remember that specific scenario that he ends up going on and saying, well, Rice ended up getting over Marshall, and that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, I don't know. I can't really defend that decision. But tie-breaking scenarios do make sense to me. Every league has them. And then they ultimately come down to something silly because you need something silly. I think some like the World Cup, I think they have like a coin flip or something like that. You have to separate teams. And if you can't separate them on the field of play, right? Hey, what's your head-to-head? I think, you know, like if you're playing a team and it comes down to whether or not, you know, Middle Tennessee or UAB hosts it and they play the final game of the season, so it works out that way, that's great. But if it's an FIU versus FIU versus UAB, who is supposed to host that one, right? How do you determine that one? Well, all right, so then you say, okay, well, what about against common opponents? Okay, what about in their total conference record, et cetera, et cetera. You have to find a way to break it down. The current tie-breaking scenarios are pretty standard by all accounts. You just compare them to any other tie-breaking scenarios across the league. I mean, not the league, but across the sport, and even like football ones. They're pretty similar, like division ones in the NFL. They all kind of make sense. I think ultimately you come down to something like a BCS one. I want to say that in the old Big 12, that's how they separated it. The BCS standings, that was pretty commonplace across the board. In the new playoff system, they don't rank all the teams the way that the BCS used to. So I think right now it's like the college football playoff rankings or something like that. Again, it's kind of silly. And in that very specific scenario, I agree that the league probably needs to do a better job of saying what that's going to be up front. I remember I asked them about it. They didn't say anything, and it was only coming down towards the very end of the season they published something. So I think they were trying to figure out exactly what they were going to do. And I don't know all the politics behind it. But having multiple criteria for tie-breaking scenarios is not uncommon. That's not very unorthodox. And that's kind of what I'm getting. I still don't quite know. We just had like a Twitter conversation about like what orthodox means. My understanding of the word, right, is I think the common understanding is like the standard way of doing things, the traditional way, the given way of doing things. Unorthodox is obviously non-standard, right? Out of the box, the weird stuff. So the things that he's mentioning, I think, yeah, pod play is unorthodox, but I think it's justified. Tie-breaking scenarios are orthodox. I disagree that they're unorthodox, right? The other one that they brought up, I thought this is something here. Two things. Basketball tournament in Frisco, and then, hey, maybe we should have, rivalry week games on a non-rivalry week, date. Basically, don't play it on the last Thursday, right, when everybody is playing their rivalry game. It's hard. There are not a whole lot of natural rivals in this league, right? We just talked about that. North Texas, for a long time, didn't really have one. I remember on old NCAA, it was like, yeah, Middle Tennessee is your rival, or Arkansas State's your rival, or Utah State. It was like, okay, I guess. I don't really think so. And if you ask any of those people, they're like, no, SMU's our rival. So North Texas, in the past few seasons, they played SMU every season. They played UTSA every season, and they have some sports hate for them. And then they've tried to mix in UTSA at the end, although they played them in the early part of the season. They've also tried to mix in like a final finale of a Rice game with mixed success, I think. I don't think Rice and North Texas really have any sports hate for each other. I don't think Rice fans have any sports love for Rice either, because there was nobody at those games, I gotta tell you. It's hard. Yeah, I think Moonshine Throwdown, that's a whole deal. And I here to support my point about not a whole lot of people knowing these teams nationwide, before Conference USA got together in its current iteration, I did not know that Marshall and Western Kentucky had sports hate for each other. I didn't know that. And I guess I didn't really care too much, And I don't know a whole lot of people that know that nationwide. It's not like Cal Stanford, where people kind of know it, or the Civil War, Oregon State. I mean, okay, cool. So when he makes a point, as I played earlier, I guess I played again.
Thanksgiving, whatever. Nobody's going to sit there and watch Marshall versus Western Kentucky on Black Friday. They're just not going to.
So having a rivalry game, yeah, it's more for the fans. You're not doing it for the nation, right? You're not going to introduce a greater rivalry than like Auburn, Alabama, right? The Iron Bowl. You're not going to introduce a greater rivalry than even the old Texas A&M one that was a post-Thanksgiving Day game. And the Big 12, Texas, they're trying to figure out something there, right? They're like, well, maybe we'll play TCU. Maybe we'll play, what do they play, Texas Tech. They're trying to, fill that void there. People are busy that day. I don't think it's a bad deal, but you're not going to really do it for TV. That game, that day, is supposed to be for the people who care, right? And if the Marshall and Western Kentucky care, then they won't care when they play that game. They will figure out what day that game's going to be played, and they will circle it on their calendar and make it happen. If that game has to be played on a convenient date for people to care, then maybe it's not that important for anybody. Same way across the league, right? I don't know that there's a rivalry game for anybody, like a true sports hate rivalry game. I don't even know if FIU is really that much of a rivalry. I think those games can be, support my point earlier about how, having to build this kind of thing. Having something that everybody can plan on and is familiar with is useful. And I don't think that rivalry games should be played or have to be played at the end of the season. They can be played anytime, any place. I think a glaring example of that, of you know, glowing success, is Texas OU, right? The Red River rivalry, or as I grew up knowing it, the Red River Shootout. It's the second week of October every season. Everybody knows when it's going to be. It's during the State Fair of Texas. It's a big deal early in the season, and everybody gets up for it. I don't care if it's the earliest game of the season. I don't care if it's the latest game of the season. I think if you care about a rivalry game, it won't matter to you either. Build up those national rivals. I also think that familiarity will breed this kind of thing, right? As all these programs build some kind of history, all the games should mean a little bit more. There are some historical ones, you know, Tech, Southern Miss, you know, that kind of thing. Cool. That's all great. But I think, like, say this year, right, Louisiana Tech, what did they say? Past couple seasons, North Texas beating Louisiana Tech on a field goal, you know, in Ruston. Then Louisiana Tech going to North Texas and blocking a field goal that would have won it in Denton, right? It kind of stokes up some of those memories. It was a big crowd from North Texas. Next season, they're going to remember that, right? All those fans are going to get hyped up about that. If UTSA was any good last season, they would have got hyped up about the North Texas game and wanted some revenge for that final loss there. You know, I don't mention the like overtime game between Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech last season because, you know, like I said, there's already some sports hate between Tech and Southern Miss. But as these teams, as UAB, as Louisiana Tech, they keep playing these games and they mean something, and everybody, you know, has memories for about them, and they're important. That's how you build up, you know, like sporting rivals. That's how you build up a tradition. That's how you can reach back and say, oh, remember when. And it has to be consistent, right? And it's only gonna. It has to take time. You need the time. You need the games to be played, and you can't just make it happen, you know, by snapping your fingers and putting on a magical date, like, November 1st. That's gonna make everybody care. That is the secret answer to all our problems. I mean, you know, I will say. I did agree with these guys, and I didn't grab a clip of this one, but they were making fun of Conference USA Way and saying, we can do a better job branding the league, and yes, I agree. I agree there that the league could do a better job. However, I think Fun Belt and Maction were natural and organic hashtags on Twitter, and people kind of, I want to say, like, ironically saying the Fun Belt. And it just kind of more like, hey, look at these cute little teams with the weird names playing on like a Thursday night. It's so crazy. The Fun Belt, right? So I don't know. I think, you know, the Sun Belt kind of took that tongue-in-cheek hashtag and made it their own. But I got to tell you, it doesn't make anybody love the Sun Belt anymore, right? It doesn't make your average fan super excited about it. It just kind of a diehard fan, you know, kind of wink about the league. It's not going to make anybody famous, but yeah, I think Conference USA Way or Stronger Together. I mean, I don't know. They sound like medical hashtags to me. Let's get to the big one before we end. We're almost at an hour. I don't want to take up too much of your time, ladies and gentlemen. The basketball tournament in Frisco, Texas. There were a lot of hot sports opinions had about the basketball tournament in Frisco. The Moonshine Throwdown guys basically said, yeah, it's not gonna do it for me. I wouldn't be caught dead in Frisco because it looks like a practice tournament. It's whack, I think one of the guys said. And, you know, like, I've talked a lot about this on various programs and in various blog posts, but let me reiterate that here. Number one, it's probably as good as this league is going to get. Much as the league struggles for broadcast partners, not a whole lot of cities were bidding on the Conference USA basketball tournament, right? You can't just say, we'll have it in Memphis. Let's just have it here. Or let's just have it in Nashville. Some of those arenas are already booked with existing tournaments, and we'll go ahead and say a better tournaments, right? You got your American. I think the American's going to be down in Frisco. I mean, sorry, in Fort Worth in a couple seasons at the new Fort Worth something. They have a new arena there. There's a lot of competition for the ideal city, I guess. And everybody said, let's have it more centrally. And I think even these guys, they kind of echoed what a Middle Tennessee fan said. He was like, let's have it here in Nashville. It's central. It's easy for like Birmingham to get here. It's easy for Western Kentucky to get here. Well, I mean, so is Frisco for the West teams, right? It's easy for UTSA to get there. It's easy for Rice to get there. It's easy for, you know, Louisiana Tech. And Louisiana Tech has a lot of local alums. Dallas-Fort Worth is one of the largest airports in the world. It's real easy to get to. Frisco is a nice town for this kind of thing. The arena setup is unorthodox, to use a phrase. But I think from a cost perspective, it allows them to put on two tournaments, the men's and the women's, at the same time. It allows greater coverage, right? Your beat writer doesn't have to choose one or the other. A lot of programs only have one beat writer covering both teams, right? I know, just off the top of my head, I think the, like, three or four of them have maybe two. One for each. And it allows the administration, it allows the fans, it allows everybody to just go to one destination. And it allows more coverage for everybody. I know I saw a lot more women's basketball this time than at the tournament than I had all season, right? Both years. And for that reason, I can see the league's positioning there. I do think that it would be beneficial to rotate it, to move it a little bit more eastward and a little bit westward, you know, let's say every two seasons, you know, just have a rotation. So that everyone gets an easy chance to travel to go see their teams. So you can scoop up all the people that can't travel at a moment's notice. They can't fly out, for whatever reason. But that said, these kinds of tournaments and like bowl season in general, those are for people with money. And if you don't have money and you can't make it because you don't have money, well, I mean, that's kind of by design, right? They're not really bowls are not really designed for the cash poor fan, and that's the way it's always been. Every bowl was designed to drum up tourist money, to line the pockets of the bowl organizers, right, and to get a little cash in the pockets of the universities. That's the way it works. So if you don't have any cash and you feel like that they only want people with cash, well, that's exactly the situation, right? The league probably can figure out a better bowl situation. Meaning make it a deal for the champion to go to. But again, with 14 different teams, there's not really a consensus for where a bowl should be. I mean, you got El Paso out there and saying, you know, maybe Boca Raton would be nice to go to, right? But Florida Atlantic doesn't really want to stay home for their bowl game, right? I know North Texas fans weren't too excited to travel to Boca Raton for a big game versus FAU. And just from talking to a whole lot of people, nobody was really excited to travel there for possible bowl game. I like New Orleans as a destination because I think it's a destination kind of tourist city. There's a lot of reason to go to New Orleans for non-bowl reasons, right? I think the date of the current New Orleans Bowl is tough to get to. It's like basically it's announced, now you have to go. And I know a lot of people are like, no, that's the Sun Belt's champion that goes there. I don't want to be associated with the Sun Belt. We should face a P5 team. Okay, well, I mean, the P5 teams are not super excited about facing us, right? A Conference USA team. The Sun Belt fans were not super excited about having to face a Conference USA team, especially because I think their champion goes to the New Orleans Bowl, right? Last year was Troy. Last year was, I forget who it was, Appalachian State, and then before that was Troy. So they were not super excited about facing number two, right? They're like, North Texas and Middle Tennessee, I guess. We deserve better. We played better. You know, Troy was like, we beat LSU. We should play a P5 team. Again, nobody really wants to play a G5 team, right? Everybody wants to dance with a P5 squad. And that means we're giving the P5 teams all the power because they say, yeah, I know. We don't want to play you guys. We want to play a P5 team. There you go, right? We're all admitting the truth of it and revealing why the conference is struggling when we don't like the teams that are at our level already. That's why I don't really think a G5 champion thing would work, because it would be just a greater version of what Conference USA is right now. A lot of teams that are secondary anyway, that have a chip on their shoulder, and that want more attention and think that they deserve better, facing teams in the exact same situation elsewhere, right? Not everybody can be TCU. Not everybody can level up and join the big squads and be a part of the show, because, you know, there are a lot of schools and programs that don't want to be associated with those schools, right? I think what was it? When Texas tried to join the Pac-12 wasn't excited about having to take Texas Tech. And that, I think, slowed up negotiations. And I think they didn't want to take Oklahoma State. And I think that slowed up negotiations. There are a lot of teams that don't want to be associated with other teams. It happens all over the place. So the answer to the question posed, and I think it was a good idea for discussion. They were kind of throwing ideas out there. So go listen to their podcast, Moonshine Throwdown. You know, to answer the question in short form, I think that to improve this league, everybody has to support the program better and greater numbers. All these stadiums need to be sold out, right? You know, you have to support your team for your team and not because the schedule has cool teams on it, right? Like, you see too many people saying, oh, we could get better scheduling. If we had better scheduling, then I'd go to the game. No, you got to show up, right? Even though, I mean, attendance across the board is down, right? I mean, so this may be just fighting the tide here, but that's how you make it easier for this conference to be funded, right? You show up for your team, and if everybody's showing up for their team, that means all of Conference USA would be better supported. That means the broadcast partners would be more excited about handing over money because they think they want to advertise to you, right? They can sell your eyeballs to their advertisers and say, hey, look at this guy. He's a diehard Middle Tennessee fan. Don't you want to sell him a washer, right? Don't you want to sell him a credit card? Don't you want to sell him, you know, some pills? That's how it works. That's how this economy works. That's how the broadcast entertainment economy works. You know, so you have to show up, right? Show up for your teams. Show up for Middle Tennessee when they play in their championship game. Don't let it be just 13,000 people there. Show up for Western Kentucky when you have a two-year run of winning the conference title. Show up, you know, be well attended and don't complain. Travel to Frisco. Show up for your team like Western Kentucky fans did there. There was a lot of red there. Not a whole lot of Old Dominion fans. You know, if you're North Texas fans, show up more for your games. Don't wait till the program is at its absolute peak. Demand more from your school. Fire underperforming coaches, hire better ones, be willing to donate more so that way you can hire better coaches and you don't have to wait till the contract ends, that kind of thing. That's how you get to a point where, you know, Conference USA is better. You have to improve the component parts. Because right now, we're sending Judy out there to sell, you know, like underperforming assets, right? And it's a tough job. And I don't think that she and the leadership are perfect, but I think they're doing a lot with what they have, what we've handed them. So, you know, I can't really criticize some of the decisions they've made. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to CUSA Report podcast. We'll do this more frequently. And again, I apologize because we're retooling the show, retooling the site. We're going to do, I mentioned before, we're going to do some memberships on this thing so that we can keep going. And there's more to come. I don't want to just keep talking right now. But there's more to come. I apologize for the something like a delay. We'll keep it going. Again, the plan is to hire some more writers, right? But we need your support the same way the rest of this league needs some support. Support your local podcasts. Support your local fan coverage, I guess, too, right? Moonshine Throwdowns of the world. the towel rack. Who else is out there? The Roost, that's new site. You know, those kinds of things. Those are good. They add to the conversation, and it shows everybody that you want better and more sophisticated coverage, right? So keep it up. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Laters.